Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT on FM News 101.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. I'm Jeff Tracy along with Reynolds, the super producer here, high atop our radio world in Portland. Say hi to all of our affiliates down the line at the Radio Northwest Network. Christmas is getting much closer. You know, the pressure is on to perform. I would say the pressure is on to enjoy the holidays. You don't have to worry about performing that much. Absolutely. So, well, this is part two of our conversation with my good friend Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet. And we're just kind of follow up from last week. And I will say that we've been exchanging arrowroot stories off of the air. So welcome back, Graham.
Thank you. And what Jeff is saying, you guys at home, if you're going to use arrowroot, and you might as well, since Bob Mills is doing such a good job at such a reasonable price, be careful to don't overdo it. He was stirring his arrowroot and couldn't get his spoon out.
Yeah, it was a bit thick.
Too thick. Yeah.
How
you don't need much.
No, you don't need much. I can tell you that. In your view, Graham, has the traditional Christmas food changed over the years? I mean, it's like we said in last week's show. I mean, you know, roast beef, Yorkshire pudding. Here it's kind of changed from turkey and ham to now we're doing more prime ribs and more, you know, pork-based roasts. I see that on the meat side of it, but how about the other things too?
Do you know, I've been watching, and there is no kind of boundary anymore. Everybody is pushing the boundary. I think there's about 170 people doing regular TV spots, you know, having a smaller thing. And because of that, there's such an amazing amount of competition to try and reinvent the wheel somehow. And there, it occurs to me that it's rather like the social network business. There are just too many ideas. So we've simply washed away what was normal. And I think to some extent, what I'm seeing some people do is say, oh, to hell with this. Let's go back and do what we used to do in the old days. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes the whole crown, you know, roast of pork.
Sure.
You know? And a really good dressing made separately. I think all of us would understand now that it's a great, pretty good idea to get the dressing separate from the meat and cook. Yeah. And a good solid gravy with that and some good fresh vegetables, you know, the good Brussels sprouts and parsnips, especially at Christmas time. They've sweetened up in the soil, some of the longer lasting carrots as well. Just beautiful. Honestly, just come and keep your raspberry puree, would you mind, you know, and your tilapia. That has no place on our table at Christmas. This is fond memories of years gone past. I think it's good. We should be back to that nostalgia at our mealtime. Definitely.
Well, I'm going to get on my soapbox here for just a minute, and I know that has never happened on this show before, but I'm in total agreement with you because our lives are very, very hectic. Just in our daily lives with the, if you work in a city and you've got to do the commuting, you've got, you know, you're bombarded. I don't know what the figure is. Maybe Reynolds could tell me, but your picture is taken something like 128 times every day, just walking down the street by ATM machines and security cameras. I mean, you've got everything going on. And to me, the holidays was a time to sit back, relax, and breathe a little bit with your friends and family. You know, and and prepare a real easy but fun and warm and comforting meal, and or two or six or whatever you think you need to do. But that's kind of where I'm coming from. A friend of mine that had Thanksgiving with us, and they do every year, he and his wife, he said, you know what we need to do this year? He goes, at Christmas, we need to do one of the old, your old style prime ribs, beating with the salt crust and that, because I did that for years. And I just haven't done it for a while because it's kind of messy to clean up and that. But I think it's a good idea because, you know, you make, you got your prime rib and it's, or rib roast, really, you know, trimmed, and then I tie it back and I put it in a bag and I put the olive oil and some basil and marjoram and oregano and some salt and things like that in it, let it sit overnight in the refrigerator, take it out, put a salt crust on it, put it in the roasting pan, and that's it. You know, it's pretty simple. And yeah. And I like those types of things.
Yeah. Well, I'm all in favor, Jeff, of making sure that the family are gathered around the table and have, that nostalgia from the past. And anything we can do, I think, is really should be aimed at that. I don't think that the portion sizes need to be part of the nostalgia. I think if we bring anything into the present that we should bring in, should be that the portion sizes, especially of the higher potential fat content things and the higher refined carbohydrate things like the Yorkshire puddings, etc., those should be in the smaller size. And the triumphant, you know, presence of the great vegetables, which really do well in the winter months, the kales and the Swiss chards and that sort of thing. I mean, and my wife Trina used to love to make a white onion sauce, and she did that very well. She did it much better than I did, and that with sometimes the red currant jelly and creamed horseradish, it's things like this that we don't normally have with day-to-day meals, but to serve those in little bowls and pass those round as something a little unusual for people to try with the normal food. It's no problem, it's just unscrew a jar and turn it into a bowl. And that would cut down on some of the, I can hear your voice saying to me that you're a busy guy, and I am, and the world is busy, and we all keep on getting busier and busier, and all this damn iPads and emails and everything else. Really, we don't seem to have any time anymore to just hang out. Oh, by the way, I think that we should turn off all external email communication systems unless the family are going to call in from afar off, you know, during the Christmas meal. But otherwise, come on. If you're going to do it, have the phones for any reason, it should be to take photographs of each other, but not to text and receive news and things like that. Please, please don't do that.
Not at the Christmas table. Not at the Christmas table. I got to take care of a couple pieces of business here, and then I'm going to stimulate your thoughts with something. We'd like to thank the Mount Angel Sausage Company for their support of the Quack Shack and the Ducks at their home game, which, by the way, if you haven't heard, the Ducks do have a new coach, or are looking for a new coach. I stand corrected. Mount Angel Sausage, that being James Hoke and his family down there, have been very kind by letting the folks at the Quack Shack sample a variety of sausage. So I can tell you from personal experience that it's very, very good. We are talking with Graham Kerr, my friend. The Galloping Gourmet meets the Cowboy Cook, and we're talking about Christmas holidays. Was there one? We've got about a minute before we go to break, so real quickly, Graham, was there one dish that, you know, you said in the show last week that you didn't remember really Christmas tree and that because your folks were always working, family get-together. But after you got out on your own and you and Trina got married, was there one thing that you always looked forward to on Christmas Day?
Yes, You can get a jar of mincemeat, and it's really a mixture of beef suet and dried fruits. And it's made by a company called Cross and Blackwell, and that's usually in stores at this time of year. And put that into the bottom of a blind baked pie crust. You know, you can buy those already made.
Sure.
And then cover that with whipped cream, solidly whipped, double cream, and so that it's almost gone to the stage of butter. And then stud the whole of the top with strawberries, fresh strawberries, and then mill some black pepper over the top of the strawberries. Then you slice that out, and you've got the warm mincemeat underneath, and you've got the cream on the top and the strawberries on top of that. And my friend, that is a dessert of desserts for Christmas.
That's living. That's living. Even Reynolds is going, that sounds pretty good. And he's kind of a finicky eater, but I saw him raise an eyebrow on that. Anyway, should we take a break now? Take a break. We're a little past our time, but we'll take a break. We'll be back with Graham Kerr on Barbecue Nation right after this.
It's full-flavored radio, Barbecue Nation with JT.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Radio Northwest Network. I'm JT along with Reynolds here in beautiful downtown Portland. Graham Kerr's on the phone with us. Actually, he's on Skype with us today. I'd like to say hi to a couple of our affiliates, KLBM in La Grande and KWRO in Coos Bay, and say hello to all of the affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network. Graham, it's before we get off into some more recipes and stuff, you've got a little thing going on with your books and your website. I want to get that in to be sure this segment here. So tell us about that.
Thank you. What's happening with me is that over the years, I have written 30 books. And I'm now in that thing. My daughter Tessa is helping me at home, and people write into my website, and then I or personally autograph and personalize books for them. And she slips those into an envelope and takes them down to the post, and off they go. Now, that sounds easy, and it's not. it's really not. Sometimes of the year, we're just flooded with book orders, and it's difficult. And it occurred to me the other day that we should be in e-books. And then a person can order a book and for, you know, around about $5, and we can press a button here and they've got it.
Yep, they've got it.
I'm sorry. I love books. I love books. And I love autographing books. But this seems like the Gutenberg press. Things have changed, and it's time for a change. So I'm running out all of my books that I have now. I'm pricing all of my cookbooks at $2 each, and just adding the shipping and handling, and they're just flooding out of my little storage area because I want to come down to zero in print and everything in ebook. So that's happening currently.
There you go.
And that leads me into the new year, when I'm going to start a new method of the month, a culinary method of the month. And I'm going to talk about a way of handling food, which is radically different from the normal. And to give you an example of what I mean by that, you know, if you're making a brown sauce, you would start off with a little butter in the pan and the same weight of flour, and you'd stir that together, and if you weighed that, whatever you did, that will hold 6 times its own weight in liquid. So you could add to an ounce combination 6 ounces or half a cup, and that'll make a nice sauce. Now, that means that the butter and the flour is held in suspension in that sauce. Now, and that gives a lovely deep flavor to food. Now, what I do is I take a small can of tomato paste, okay? And
remember, you're a U.S. citizen now, so you got to say tomato.
Right. I try to remember. And then I take a little olive oil, put that into a hot pan, and then stir it around for about 4 or 5 minutes. It takes about the same amount of time as the roux does for the sauce. And you will notice that the red color starts to go away, and it starts to get like a mahogany color. What is happening during that period of time is that the flavor molecules have gone from about 60 to about 700. There's a multiplication as it breaks down and the flavor molecules begin to multiply. It's an amazing experience called the Maillard reaction. So what you do then is you just take a stock and you pour that on the top, stir it in, and you've got a marvelous deep brown glossy finish to a beef stew or whatever, or sauce, whatever you want to do. That's a good way to start out a dark finished dish. And so I want to use that as the method in, say, February, first Saturday in February, and I want to be able to describe that completely on my website, and then let people have a go at it for the months and keep sending me in what they are doing with that and how they're succeeding in that. And every Wednesday I'll sweep up all those comments and then interact with people on it. At the end of the month, we'll just say, hey, you guys, that seems to be working well. Let's get into the next thing. Let's find out how to make a white sauce this time. And I'm going to go through at least 26 basic methods over a two-year period and see whether we can't introduce some ways of being able to handle food that aren't necessarily have the same risk factors that some of the older methods of cooking do.
Sure. Sure. No, that sounds... Sign me up. I want to play with you on that.
Well, then the other thing is I've got this book, Flash of Silver, which you and I have talked about in the past, which is my life story. And I'm now forming a Reflective Readers Club, and you have to have the book because the code to get into this site is embedded in the book.
Ah.
The only reason for that is I'm going to start to talk, to interact with people, which I do now every Saturday, of some things which are really hard to talk about. And they're very personal, but they do. That's a sort of thing. If you're walking through a cow paddy and you're not watching what you're doing, you're likely to step in something warm and freshly released.
Yes.
And life is like that. And we do step in stuff. And how we step out of it and how we clean the boot off and how we get on with our life is very important. So I want to talk about that. And I can't really talk about that unless people have the whole book.
Sure.
Because you can walk through stuff and just that's all very amusing, I suppose. But until you really see how you get out of it, that's the important part.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break here, Graham, really quickly. I want to say, check out PDX Portland Marketplace there. Our friend Mark Anderson over at Champouille Farms has got some great gift certificates on there for sale that for the turkeys that you had at Thanksgiving, you know, farm raised, farm fresh, all that stuff, free range. They all got names too. Anyway, you can get a good certificate on there. And our friends over at Black Olive Grill, they have a pellet grill on there. So we're going to take a break. Would you like to take a break, Reynolds? Reynolds would like to take a break. Graham would like to take a break, and I'm going to take a break. And we'll be back on Barbecue Nation with Graham Kerr right after this.
Got a question for JT? Call him right now at 503-417-9KXL or 877-733-1011.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. This is, I guess, about part five or six of our interview with Graham, the Galloping Gourmet, Graham Kerr. You were talking about on your website and how you're really changing some recipes and changing some techniques in that.
Yes.
Our listeners on this show, I'm sure some of them will get involved with that. But one of the things I want you to do this segment, because we've got a lot of Christmas trivia to cover here in just a couple minutes. So if they're looking at a pork loin roast to do for Christmas, what would you recommend for them to do with that?
Do you know, I would just simply tell them to get some soft brown sugar and to chop, if you can, find fresh sage and fresh thyme. And that if you can't, then the dried sage and thyme will be just fine. You know, I don't want to over complicate this for you. mix that, then rub that or sprinkle that into the brown sugar. And then take a little mustard, and the mustard that I would use would be Gray's Poupon mustard.
Oh, yes.
And mix all of that up until it becomes a kind of paste. And then spread that over the top of the pork loin before you roast it. Now, the thing that I've been experiencing recently with pork is that in the past, one would hear people talking about, you know, sear it to begin with and then reduce the temperature. I'm rather inclined to think nowadays that a lower temperature for pork is better. And so I'm into the 300 degree max temperature for pork. And if I'm cooking a piece of pork, like a pork chop, I would put that in a cold pan to begin with. And then increase the heat to medium underneath it. And it's going to take about an extra 8 to 10 minutes more for a pork chop than normal. But I think by the time you've finished, it's a whole lot more succulent than the dried out way that we get when we overcook at too high a temperature. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, yes. Well, you know, what's interesting is in the barbecue competition world and some of the TV shows, the last year or so, they've been talking about reverse searing. And I thought, God, I've been doing stuff like that for 30 years, you know? So anyway, and not to toot my own horn there, but it's just like, you know, you can do the conventional ways, and I agree with you, a little lower, a little slower on certain cuts of those of meat works out a lot better, lot better. I like to put a kind of a, oh, like a Merlot and some mushrooms in there and some garlic and shallots and reduce that down a little bit and use that as a sauce served over some roasted red potatoes along with the pork roast. So that's pretty good too. That works out.
That's wonderful. I have a daughter that if you don't serve an applesauce with pork, then she's not happy.
Oh. Is that Tessa?
Yes, that's Tessa.
Okay.
That's right.
Well, good for Tessa. If she ever comes to my house, I will make sure that I have applesauce.
and an applesauce made with this new remarkable apple nowadays that is such a good eating apple. Come on, help me with it. It's the new biggest apple.
Like a Honeycrisp or one of those?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Made with that and let it go chunky, you know, chop it up and a little bit of onion with that at the same time and just cook it down a bit and still, so it shouldn't be like it is when it comes out of one of those little pots.
Yes, yes. Okay. Are you ready for some Christmas
trivia?
Yeah, a little trivia there.
Okay. Well, why do you think I do this program?
I love this stuff.
I'm going to try over my entire lifespan to be able to answer one of your trivia questions right.
Okay. Well, you will know this one. What Christmas plant is Viscum used to label? Mistletoe, holly, ivy, or sage?
Sage.
Mistletoe.
I didn't know the first part of the question.
Oh, it says, what Christmas plant is Viscum, V-I-S-C-U-M, used to label? Okay.
Oh, of course, mistletoe. Yeah.
Okay.
I misinterpreted your question.
No worries. Yeah. Now you're British, so you should know this. Yeah, I mean you're an American now, but you were British. I guess you're always British, but anyway. Name Ebenezer Scrooge. What was his business partner's name?
Oh dear.
Do you know Reynolds?
No, and I'm going to have to say my brain is spinning around and it will come to it, but I'm missing it at the moment.
Okay, I'll give you a couple choices. James Wilcott, John Mantis, Jimmy Booth, or Jacob Marley?
Jacob Marley.
Very good. He gets a prize.
Hey,
Graham.
I did it.
Yes. Oh, you'll know this one. What Christmas food is made from marsh warts?
Marsh warts.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
Stuffing? Stuffing, sweet potatoes, marshmallows, or cranberry sauce?
Oh. Marshmallows.
Cranberry sauce. Marsh. When you think of the word marsh, a bog.
Oh, marsh, of course.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Now, you're a sailor. You've traveled the world on your yacht. And which ocean is Christmas Island in?
That's a very good question. I'm going to plop for the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, you get another one right. On which, this is, we did this one too a little bit at Thanksgiving, I think. Which continent is the turkey, not the country turkey, but the bird turkey from? South America, North America, Europe, or Australia?
Well, it's definitely not Australia. I don't think it's from, it's not a British bird. An American bird. So, what's that other one that you mentioned? Europe.
Yeah, Europe or South America.
Europe.
Actually, it's an American bird, but this trivia question is wrong because we learned in our Thanksgiving trivia question that they did come from Europe and were put into Canada, and then they came to the U.S.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Good.
Okay. What last? So
we're actually correcting the question.
I am.
Excellent.
I am.
Well,
I only like facts, real ones. In which author's novel is it always winter but never Christmas? C.S. Lewis, John Masefield, Jacob Marley, we know that, or Sherlock Holmes?
Lewis.
I believe you're correct there. You got about four of them right this afternoon.
I should get some kind of prize.
I will send you a prize.
I will. Huckleberry jam, right?
I am sending you a case of Huckleberry jam. And don't, the right listeners, don't get the idea that if I ask you a trivia question, I'm going to send you a case of Huckleberry jam. This is a special deal for Graham here. So
you guys at home need to know that Jeff introduced me. He sent me a jar of Huckleberry jam, and it has transformed my life. Literally. I mean, it is so good. It's an amazing jam. And I've used it, or God has used it, to overwhelm my self-pity at the loss of my wife, Trina. And I can't tell you the whole story, but it was like one day I was very sad and at breakfast, and I'm looking down at my placemat and thinking of sackcloth and ashes and, oh, woe is me. And it was like God rushed in with a huge paint pot full of huckleberry jam and whopped a great spudge of it onto my placemat and massaged it and said, what do you think I'm doing? And I said, well, men, when they don't understand anything, are supposed to ask you, and since you turned up, you know, what are you doing? And he said, I'm smothering your self-pity in huckleberry jam. And I know that you love huckleberry jam because you just recently had some and enjoyed it so much. And I want you to enjoy the fact that you had a wonderful wife and loved her to bits, and she loved you too. Now, why don't you just smother your self-pity with gratitude? By all means, grieve. That's fine. But self-pity doesn't go anywhere.
There you go. There you go. We're going to take
Thank you, Jeff.
It's not a problem, Graham. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap up our part two of our Christmas show with Graham Kerr right after this.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT on FM News 101.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I do sincerely hope that you all are ready for Christmas. If you're not, you can go to the KXL website, look at the PDX Portland Marketplace, and look for gift cards from the folks down at Shampooey Farms for their free-range turkeys like we had at Thanksgiving. You can also look at the pellet stoves, Black Ollie Pellet, which I've talked a lot about over the last year. It's the only Kamado-style grill that's a pellet grill. And you can look for some stuff from our folks at Mount Angel Sausage Company there, too. So we're going to come back, wrap up the show right now, which we are. I don't know why I said that, but we're already on the air, talking with my good friend Graham Kerr. Is there one thing you want to do at Christmas that you haven't done yet?
That's a really interesting question to ask. Yes, I want to be able to experience joy. Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, my background, as I've shared with you in the last program, was being raised in the hotel business. And everybody else was having fun. But I don't know that fun is joy. Joy is a thing that bubbles up inside and you think how extraordinary this life is and how I want to embrace it and say I never want to forget this moment for the rest of my life. I would love to have that experience. Yeah.
It'll come. I have faith in you. It'll come. Trust me. You're due, and it'll come for you. Are you going to have a big holiday there with your family? I know Tessa's there, and is your son come?
Tessa and Scott, and that'll be us. And we'll see how that all works out. But and up until then, my poor Tessa will be running backs and forwards to the post office, getting rid of the rest of our books.
Okay.
And I want to let your readers know, if you want a book for $2 with my signature in it, as a gift for somebody else who might say, "Whoa, that's an unusual gift," then we're very happy. We're obviously not making a profit on this.
Yeah.
But we are clearing our decks and getting ready for a brand new electronic year. So if your guys would like that, I'd be very happy.
I will put the
I'm not sure Tessa would be very happy, but I'd be very happy to sign them and get them on the way.
I will put the link to your website, which is grahamkerr.com, I believe, and we will do that. And they can go on there and they can see all the interesting things that are on there about your book, your stories about Trina, sure. Some of your adventures in the world, and you know, swimming upstream. That's I always like that about you. Always like that about
you,
Graham.
I wanted to keep doing that. Absolutely.
Hey, do me a favor before we leave, because we've only got about 40 seconds left here. I want to say hi again to Darcy Hearn from Almsville, who last week we congratulated on her monkey bread, and Tony Ashton from Camas, Washington, on the slow-cooked ribs. Before Christmas, guys, you are going to get a little package in the mail from yours truly, your Smokehouse Products little smoker box, and Graham Kerr is going to wish you a personal Merry Christmas right now.
I am, you guys, well done, you know, and when you can take great photographs of great food like you've done, hey, you're entitled to a prize. And Jeff, I've sent you a box of my books. If you'll just take one of those each and put that in with the rest of the sausages for your two winners, would be wonderful.
I will do that. I promise I will do that. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. We are going to get out of here. Next week's show, you're going to hear the Christmas tales from Danny Dwyer from The Bull, Rebecca Marshall from the news, Nice News Lady in the Morning here at KXL, and myself. I don't know how much truth will be involved, but it should be an entertaining show. I really like to thank my friend Graham Kerr for being with us today. It's always such a pleasure to talk with him, and I hope he has a genuinely lovely and nice and warm and joyful Christmas.
Joyful, joyful. That's what I want.
There
Bless
you go.
You, my friend. Thank you.
All
and
right.
All of the same thing to you, too. You do such a good job. Well done.
Oh, thank you. All right, we're getting out of here. McGarian's coming up. Remember, turn it, don't burn it. You can check out my stuff at thecowboycook.com. For Reynolds and myself, we hope you're having a wonderful holiday season. We will see you next week.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions LLC. All rights reserved, copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is managed skillfully by Reynolds in production compound 4 high above the skyline of PDX, the one with no windows. We'll be back next week with another entertaining and fun edition of Barbecue Nation. At least, that's what we believe. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.